it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And a pleasant good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show with Saints Head Coach Kellen Moore. I'm Mike Hoss. Bobby Hebert joining us from the Silver Slipper in Hancock County, Mississippi. And Saints Head Coach Kellen Moore, first game, tough loss all the way, literally, until the very last second. Emotions always raw after the game. You know, the game is kind of in your head, but you've had, you know, probably a few times to look through the tape today. Impressions now that you've seen it a couple of times?
Yeah, it was just a great battle. It was a great game. You know, felt like we had our opportunities, and that's all you can ask for. You can put yourself in a really good position to win the game and have a chance at the end of the football game, and we didn't make enough plays as we went down the stretch. And so, you know, a lot of stuff led up to that moment. There's a lot of opportunities throughout that game for four quarters. We got to play a cleaner game. We got to clean some things up. But I love the way our guys battled. I love the energy. I love the juice. If our guys play like that each and every week, we're going to be winning a bunch of games.
Coach Moore, it seems like just observing and watching training camps and, you know, preseason games and, you know, you can move the football, but the red zone efficiency, when you get down there, you can't obviously not turn over the football, but you can't be selling for field goals. That's something that, you know, the best teams you're going to get, if you can get 50%, 60%, you know, that's something I know you can't be pleased with, being only one of four in the red zone. And if you're going to win games in the NFL, you know, you got to turn those into touchdowns, because we are moving the football, but not being able to, you know, score enough points with obviously getting touchdowns.
No doubt. Completely agree. I think, you know, red zone football is so critical to winning and losing in these games. And this game's really tight, and it comes down to critical situational football. And so whether it's red zone, third downs, you know, our defense had a few third and longs that we were right in great position to get them to punt, and, you know, we weren't able to knock it down. And so, you know, a lot of situationals come up that, you know, we got to get better at.
You know, speaking of situational football, Coach, are you a two-for-one coach as far as clock management? What I mean by that, you know, you win the toss, you defer, and then to close out the first half, and then, you know, you have the opening possession. I don't know if it's the right word, stealing a possession, but stealing a score, an opportunity, you know, a two-for-one. But what is the strategy going into that? Because, you know, I'm sure you've heard it, and a number of fans, they want to know, well, it looks like the Cardinals for sure was going to score. So why we went into the locker room with all those three timeouts where whether they kicking a field goal or scoring a touchdown, it seems like we could have had around a minute, a little bit more. So even if we don't have good field position, we could still be more aggressive in trying to get at least into scoring range before half range.
Yeah, no doubt. That's totally fair. I think, you know, you're always looking for two-for-one opportunities. I think that's an important opportunity in the middle of the game. And so, you know, it was a difficult decision as you go through that. It felt like, you know, us getting the ball in the second half, they still had all three timeouts. And, you know, so they could have flipped that thing around a little bit. And so, you know, certainly I can see ourselves banging timeouts a lot of times in those situations. Felt like we were in a good position. We were still in a one-score game. We had the ball coming out of it. And, you know, we didn't take advantage of that opportunity.
Coach, you've seen, obviously, many times today, and from an execution standpoint, the Spencer pass to Juwan Johnson, that if not for Jalen Thompson and Buda Baker – I mean, that's how you draw it up, right? I mean, it's exactly the throw you want made. Juwan did exactly what he was supposed to do.
Yeah, I thought we gave ourselves a chance. Essentially, we had three plays, three shots in the end zone at that point. Once we clocked it, we knew we had three shots, you know, and we just weren't able to finish it. And we were really, really close on that one. You know, I thought it was, you know, with the limited time that you had to make a quick decision. We were close on it, you know. Obviously, Juwan was able to make the initial catch, and they did an excellent job of attacking the football all the way through, you know, the contact to the ground.
You know, Kellen, we were doing the post-game show, and I always say, I don't know, Alvin Kamara to me is our most explosive player. And whenever you're in the conversation with the Derrick Henrys, now different body type, or Christian McCaffrey and all, I say he needs more touches. Is that a game plan? The game plan, I'm looking at 13 touches. He had 57 total yards in scrimmage, where I said we need to double that. He needs to have about 114. I can remember when we really rolling offensively, he's about 125, 130, and he's had games over 150. But having 13 touches, that's something maybe that I know it's a long season, but having like 20 touches plus. I mean, so let's say he had 13 touches. I had 10 more. I don't know. He has 23 touches. Because I'm looking at that 18, that touchdown run he had. He was hitting and getting it. So I don't know. Yep. Look, and I want Kendra Miller to contribute, Devin Neal, all of them. But I know I trust Alvin Kamara with his hands on the ball more.
Yep, no doubt. Alvin's a special player for us. He's going to get a lot of opportunities. And, you know, the way that game went down, we weren't able to play in mixed downs as well as we could have because, we shot ourselves in the foot too many times. Penalties, putting ourselves in second and longs, not able to play run downs as many times as we'd like. And so, we definitely want to give him more opportunities.
You know, Coach, in another area, I talk about red zone, and then, like, third down efficiency. You know that can't be 30-some percent. That's not winning football. You can't control the ebb and flow of a game or the time of possession. And I'm looking at one reason why they had the ball basically 7.5 minutes more because you're behind the sticks because of the penalties, and then you're not converting on third down. And the same that it worked out when we went tempo, looking with Rattler, we had the corners on their heels. He was 13 of 16, like, what, 115 yards? With it, but then you can't have a damn penalty when now it's we had a good play, but it's like whatever, a first and 15 or a second and double digits. But I know you're addressing that with the team, and that we have to grow from that going forward.
Yep, a lot of growth opportunities for our guys, and so by no means was it good enough. We want to win football games. We want to play better. I'm really excited about the way our guys are going to respond to this. And so, the situational football is going to be a big point of emphasis. The clean operation is going to be a clean point of emphasis. And we got to put ourselves in better situations because I know we can.
Coach, I agree with Bobby. I think the up-tempo, really kind of favored into Spencer's kind of hand. But did it play? Because they also went up-tempo a lot. They also had 9 penalties. That's 22 penalties between both teams. Does tempo sometimes play a role in that?
It can potentially. They called that game really tight, and I think I think it was consistent. They called a lot. They called the procedural thing really, really tight. Our guys got to be really, really dialed, and so we put a lot of time and emphasis into that all off season. And so it was a frustrating thing, I think, for everyone on offense in particular, and a couple on defense, couple on special teams. It's a big time growth opportunity for our guys, and I think our guys will respond really well this week because if we clean up that, the tempo operation had a lot of success.
Need to take a break. Mike Haas, Bobby Hebert. We are talking with Saints head coach Kellen Moore as they get ready for San Francisco. The 49ers coming to Caesars Superdome on Sunday. This is The Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show with Saints head coach Kellen Moore, Mike Haas, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. And you always like teaching moments after a victory. Sometimes it doesn't happen that way. Can you talk about Kool-Aid McKinstry? I thought he made some really excellent plays, and I thought there were also some teachable moments. When you're guarding Marvin Harrison, you get some of those 45 yards where he wasn't like he was out of position, but maybe it's sometimes it's just get your head around, right? I mean, were there some teachable moments for Kool-Aid?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, we've talked a lot about Kool-Aid. We feel so good about him and the progress he's made, and he's going to play some tough downs in this league. He's going to play against some of the best of the best, and he's going to have those one-on-one opportunities. And so, We feel like he's going to win more than he loses, and so he's just got to respond the right way. There's certainly, he's close right there. He's attacking the football all the way through the catch. I think we're really, really close on that play. And I think that was the big thing about our defense was there's so much good, and then they have a really long pass, and then they have a really long run. And those are two of the biggest plays in the game that kind of, put them in favor.
Yeah, Coach Moore, along those lines, you talk about explosive plays. And I know you never want to look into last year, but the Saints fans, we look at a year ago, allowed those type of games. Man, we playing overall seems like good defense. Then when you give up 45 and 52 yards, what ends up happening, like the cat and mouse game, you flip the field, and then it sets up, and the Cardinals actually got scores because of those big chunk plays, those explosive plays. So just as a defense, I know Brandon Staley's definitely emphasizing that. Now, you want to get those plays, but don't give those up.
Yeah, no doubt. I think, we talk so much about turnover margin, right? That's the big thing that everyone talks about. But explosive plays is right there with turnover margin. And so you don't get to say take those explosive plays out and say, hey, we played great run defense and great pass defense. They all count. They all count the same. That's such an impactful plays within these games.
Now, Coach Moore, you brought up the turnover margin, and, obviously we want to protect the football, we want to take it away. And I think I've heard DeMario Davis or like Cam Jordan is saying that, you want to play that perfect game. You're always striving for that as a defensive unit. And I'm sure Brandon Staley has challenged the defense that we got to take it away. You guys, it's good that we're protecting it, but we have to be opportunistic in taking that football away, whether it's I'm not saying pick six or scoop and score, but whether you're punching it out or just getting the interception and changing the momentum that way. And we all know the numbers. You look, just by being plus one, plus two, you should never lose to me if you're plus two in the turnover. But even plus one can make a big difference if you're winning or losing.
No question. It's something, we've spent a lot of time investing time in. And so I felt like our guys were close. I did really love the way our guys were attacking the football in the run game. Our second, third guy in, they were attacking the football. Weren't able to get any out. We just got to keep hammering at it. And eventually the pass game perspective, we get them behind the sticks and we got some opportunities with the ball in the air. We got a chance to go get some.
Coach, it stayed a one-score game that enabled the possibility towards the end, partly in part because of the block by Brian Brzee on the 46-yard field goal of Chad Ryland in the fourth quarter. Now, we've seen it happen in Week 14 against the Giants to preserve the win. Can you kind of talk about that play? Because it's you don't see it very often because if I'm right, he can't touch anybody. He can leap,
yeah,
but he can't lay a finger, a shoelace on anybody. Talk about that play and really just kind of the difficulty in the execution of it.
Yeah, I think one really cool example is the way our guys rushed the field goal and the extra points all game led to that opportunity, and that our guys were really, pushing back, getting some stress in the field goal protection team. And then it was really good, I think, just example of communication with Phil and Brzee, kind of their communication saying, hey, we think we got a shot here. We got an opportunity. If it presents itself, we can take a chance here. And obviously they were in a long yard situation, and so we felt like there is some risk associated with it, but we felt like it was worth it, take a shot there, and just phenomenal execution. I think Godchow and Shep are a part of that, the way they rush on, next to him, and so it was a really good combination of everyone working together.
Kellen, when I look at this, boy, you want your veterans to lead by example. Sometimes that's the best leadership, where you actually are walking the talk. And looking at Cam Jordan taking advantage of opportunity, now I think he's a Pro Football Hall of Famer. But with Chase Young being out, boy, he was outstanding. You look, a sack and a half, two tackles for loss, two quarterback hurries, a pass defense, and then also Carl Granderson. And you got to think about this. Now, Carl, I remember he was telling me in training camp, when I was in Sacramento in high school, I played linebacker. He goes, I can do this. Well, he didn't look out of position. You think under Brandon Staley's system that, Cam Jordan and Carl Granderson really took advantage of the opportunity. Like he had, Granderson had a sack and a half, a tackle for loss, quarterback hurry, two passes defended, along with double D, DeMario Davis. DeMario Davis, number one ranked linebacker in the whole NFL as far as run support. He didn't look like no old man to me. You know, I say, oh, he's in his 30s, 36. No. Might say, you know, fans say, I want a young guy playing. Why? The young guy ain't better than DeMario Davis? What are you talking about? But just talk about those three veterans and what they did defensively yesterday.
Yeah, three guys who definitely had an impact on the game. Cam from the start, you know, his play recognition, the sack was, you know, purely his high football IQ, recognizing the play and reacting. And so, you know, Carl just seems like Carl's around the football at all times. He's just running around, you know, even on the long run, you know, he runs the running back down. You know, he's an edge rusher on the opposite side of the field, and he chases the guy down, you know, and makes that, you know, potential 4-point play stop, puts him in a field goal situation. And so, and then DeMario's physicality, his play style is just what we all want, you know, and if everyone plays like DeMario, we're going to be just fine. And so, he did an excellent job throughout the game of just playing fast, physical, hitting the point of attack in the run game. You know, it was a really good performance by those guys.
Coach, I don't know that I've heard, and the news is out, Julian Blackman with the injury, plays the game, right? Every defensive snap, goes to the locker room, yeah. Goes home, shoulders, you know, obviously bothering him. I'm sure his whole body is bothering him, but it looks like it's going to be a torn labrum, so, you know, maybe surgery, who knows, but, you know, could be season-ending, but you talked this afternoon, you know, that's about the kind of the emotions and a lot of things, you know, going through your body. But have a guy go home and then go, hey, man, I think I got a season-ending injury.
Yeah, it's a unique one. I mean, Bobby, you know how adrenaline works in this game. And so your body kind of, you know, you're coming off of these games, it's your body naturally feels a little bit sore, but there's adrenaline pumping through you. And so, you know, as you go through it, usually soreness starts kicking in. But for it to be this severe of an injury, obviously it's unfortunate for Julian just because, you know, we're so excited to be able to onboard him late in the process. He did an awesome job during training camp, the way him and Justin were working in tandem on the back side of that thing, in the back end. I thought they did some really good stuff.
Need to take another break? You are listening to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show with Saints head coach Kellen Moore. We'll turn our attention a little bit towards San Francisco when we come back. Again, the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Well, welcome back to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show and Saints head coach Kellen Moore. Now moving on to next week, brought to you by John Fayard Moving and Warehousing, first in service. San Francisco comes to town, so you got to watch, really, when you're watching film, you get to watch your next two opponents. San Francisco played at Seattle, and kind of, maybe this is where, you know, teams that you want to, where you want to be, right? San Fran had, Purdy had two picks, kicker Jake Moody had a rough day, George Kittle left with a hamstring, yet they found a way somehow, as ugly as it was, to come out and get a victory, right? I mean, that's what you want to be. If you're not play your best, but, man, you got a team that they just know and find a way to win coming into your building next Sunday.
Yeah, no doubt. I think, you know, it just shows the margins that all these NFL games are played in. They played it all the way to the end. Seattle had a great opportunity right towards the end, similar to our situation. And, you know, for San Francisco's sake, they were able to score. And then when they got down there, you know, Nick Bosa made a big-time play. He made a strip fumble turnover to ultimately seal the game. And so, you know, these guys are going to be a challenge.
Now, Coach Moore, how pleased you were now looking at the special teams. I'm looking at Kroger punting. I mean, net, I would take 43 net any day of the week. I think that'll be amongst the best when all said and done. Now, you know, obviously you got to, you know, inside the 20 and all that, and you would never want to outkick your coverage, but averaging 50.5, but you have to look at the net. And I saw that 43, that's winning football from that punting position. And then you look at Kendre Miller. You know, we kind of think of him just as a running back, but look how, you know, flipping the field and field position, a 43-yard kick return. I think Kendre Miller might break one and have a great opportunity to score a touchdown that way. We all know Rashid Shaheed can take a punt return to the house. But when you looked at the special team units, how would you say you fared? And obviously, I know, I mean, come on. As much as we love him, Blake Gruber got to make that kick. That's like an extra point. And he made everything in training camp, but now you got to make it in the regular season game. So kind of a mixed bag when I look at the special teams, because points are so precious, And then for us to not make that kick, because, oh, we take it for granted. You turn your head. Oh, but he missed it? What? And you think automatic, he's going to be automatic. But just break down the whole return game and the kicking game of what you saw yesterday.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of good. You know, we did have some missed opportunities, like you said. I thought Kai punted it really, really well. I thought our punt unit as a group, protection, execution downfield, we had one where we allowed them to get out in space and get a good return. Outside of that, though, I thought Kai did an awesome job. Thought our gunners, put us in good position, got it down there, forced some fair catches. And so there's a lot of positives with that. From a kickoff perspective, I think our first kickoff of the game, I thought was a great example, setting the tone. Started at the 21-yard line. I thought our guys did an excellent job. Kendre, like you said, he was close. I think the guy got his foot. If he doesn't get his foot, he might be gone. And so, we feel like he's really close. He's gonna get one of these really soon. And so, and then the points, we had a missed op. Everyone knows that. And we got to take advantage of every opportunity we have to put points on the board and put ourselves in position to win them.
Coach Ward, that's one thing. The Saints fans, who that nation, we take for granted because we've always been for sure top five, if not top three on special teams. And I didn't get a chance to talk to you, but I'm looking. I remember when the Saints got rid of Chris Banjo. I'm like, what? This guy's a stud on special teams. Why are we getting rid of him? And then he ended up going to the Cardinals. Now I think he's coaching with the Broncos and Sean Payton, that being Chris Banjo. Yep. Then look at JT Gray, now an opportunity with him with the Ravens, and he was all pro. Is this a fair assessment? Because I'm a fan of his. He's kind of that tweener. He'd be a small linebacker, but a big safety. Stallbird. I mean, he ended up leading the team with two special teams tackles. Does he have that kind of ability when all said and done? I know, like, in that one, I think the first preseason game, he might have had four special teams tackles, which is outstanding. So what is your take on him? And explain maybe to fans, because a lot of fans, we like JT Gray because he may have had that kind of impact. And because he's not just a Pro Bowl, he was all pro.
Yeah, no doubt. No, we love JT, and obviously he's had a tremendous career. And that was arguably the toughest roster transaction over the last week that we had to do. And there's, because it's not easy. It's not easy at all. Just with the roster flexibility and roster management, we felt like it was the best decision for us. Certainly with guys like Isaiah. I mean, Isaiah, I think, is a tremendous special teams player. I mean, his impact since the first preseason game all the way, through yesterday, like he's going to have an impact on each and every game from a special teams perspective. And we feel like we're getting contributions from a number of guys. I think, with Valus, as a special teams guy, Sanker obviously has made some plays. That linebacker unit is giving us some really good work there. And so we feel like we got some guys who are going to help contribute. And, the standard's still the standard, and we're going to have a high impact there on special teams.
And just giving some guys some time, right? Vele, you just got him, right? I mean, Awesome Richards on August 26th, Luke Fortner, a lot of these guys who played yesterday, if it's Vele, he had three touchdowns in 24, all inside the red zone. I mean, give him some time. These guys are going to grow. They just got here.
Yeah, we made some moves as the season got near, and so it felt like those are going to help our team as the season progresses. Certainly, those guys' opportunities, there's probably a decent chance their opportunities increase as they go, and so it's about acclimation now and getting those guys ready to contribute in really meaningful ways.
Well, we'll learn a lot more Wednesday. Obviously, the Niners have some injury situations, and then we'll learn more about the Saints situation. We appreciate your time. Best of luck against San Francisco, and go get them and get back to 500.
Awesome. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.